Hello and welcome this week to Talking Flutes Extra with me, Jean-Paul Wright. And joining me again this week is my daughter, forensic psychologist, Dr. Beth Wright. Forensic psychologist or just psychologist?
Forensic psychologist. The forensic is the cool part.
The cool part. I like that. For those of you that joined us last week, we were talking about overcoming procrastination. And within that podcast, Beth was talking about judgment. And sometimes with procrastination, the outcomes lead to judgment, or there is judgment placed upon us based around our performances or our exams. So this week, I'd like to look at two questions that have been sent in by listeners of the podcast, and I've kept them back so that I could speak to Beth about them, and they're linked together. So I'm going to read them both off and then we'll hit the first one. How does judgment, whether self-imposed or from others, affect mental state and possible musical practice and performance outcomes? And the follow-on to that is, what strategies can a musician use to lessen the burden of judgment from self or others? So should we touch on the first one first, shall we? How does judgment, and if we look at judgment, I'm talking about perfection. In my view, perfection doesn't exist. And when you do a performance, whether an exam, an audition, or a concert performance, the outcome is based around a judgment from yourself, how you've performed, a judgment from others. In other words, how they've seen you perform. And then that's based around their own biases around that piece, how they like the flute being played. So there is a judgment plays a huge, great part in our psyche as musicians, or psyche as musicians. So does judgment, whether it's imposed on ourselves or from others, how does that affect our mental state and our outcomes, do you think? Or how dangerous is judgment if we don't really understand that trying to go for perfection is, I would say, almost a lost cause, because perfection is based around the judgments, as we've already discussed?
Okay, so before I answer this, I want to take you way back millions of years ago to caveman days.
You'll probably sound caveman still, but...
So if you think about judgment being... It feels or sounds like a bit of a modern day fight or flight response, but actually it comes from back in, you know, the caveman days, where if we were judged to be not good enough or we weren't accepted into our caveman tribe, we would have been kind of outcast, and it would have made us vulnerable to being killed off, being, you know, in danger of being hurt by wild animals. As a human, we are programmed to place value on other people's judgments and to judge ourselves so that we can prepare for any sort of rejection by, you know, our tribe, by our fellow humans. And so that's why judgment is, you know, is often important to us. And of course, I think you explained really well the impact that judgment can have in terms of how we might judge ourselves, how other people might judge us in terms of our performance, the piece that we play, do they like it, the way that we play? And that, unfortunately, is a part of life. We can't just eradicate judgment. But it also adds to the beauty of life as well. In a weird sort of way, the way that we think about something, the opinions that we form about something, and they're all important. And the way that something makes us feel, the way that we connect to something, a performance, a piece, these are all important things. But ultimately, it can lead us to placing too much judgment on ourselves, or being too self-critical, or for placing beliefs or mind reading, we call it, that we believe that other people are judging us in a way that they're actually not. We think that they're thinking things about us that just aren't true, and they're not rooted in evidence. We have no evidence to say that this person thinks that we performed rubbish or that they didn't enjoy the piece. But like I said, it stems back from our kind of fight or flight caveman days. And I think, what was the end of the question? So
it is the self-imposition of judgment I regard as greater than the perceived judgment as imposed on others. Because as you rightly say, the judgment is different on everything. You know, I could like a certain ice cream, you would dislike that certain ice cream. There's two judgments there on the same ice cream. And the same would go with performance. But judgment that you stick on yourself, how many times have we come off the stage or out an exam and thought, oh, that was awful. And yet people have come up and said, well played. So it's like the danger of the judgment that we place on ourselves, because we can't affect the judgment that others place on us.
And I think it's important, and I don't know whether I've explained this too well, but it's also important to distinguish between judgment and opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Judgment is often something negative. It's often really uncomfortable to be judged or to feel judged.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Whereas an opinion is something that someone holds. It's subjective. It doesn't mean anything about who we are. It's just an opinion about something specific. And we don't always have to have the same opinion on something. Exactly. Like, I might like a very different ice cream flavour to an ice cream that you like. And it's the same with music. I might love a certain type of music or a certain song that you just don't connect with. So when we talk about judgment, or when I talk about sometimes judgment being positive, I kind of mean opinion. I kind of mean like the expectations or the hope that we place on ourselves. I think it's just important to distinguish between the two.
So I get that. Opinion and judgment are very, very different. And that's the first thing that I've noticed from you speaking to me this morning. Now, judgment and opinion, as you say, if we understand the delineation between the two, we will respond differently, our mental state will respond differently to each. And I think understanding that word opinion rather than judgment is important. So say the opinions, and opinions get to people, you know, because there could be implied criticism. There could be criticism of the way you've done something, you've worked really, really hard. And again, if that's an opinion or a judgment, it doesn't matter, it's still a negative coming in. And over a period of time, that really does affect your self-worth. If it becomes a recursive loop, it then affects your mental health. Now you've worked on judgment and you've worked on opinion. Let's just look at opinion. What could we do to stop the recursive loop? Because what we do is very different to being a lawyer, where you have factually based something. And if you're incorrect, you're factually incorrect. As a musician, everything you do is based around a judgment or value.
So I think it's first important to say that you could do a flawless, perfect performance, if that ever existed, and someone could still have the opinion that it's not that great.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it becomes slightly tricky, is when we internalise opinions as facts. And we say, oh, well, that must mean, we place meaning on somebody's opinion on something, that must mean I didn't perform well, despite or doing a flawless performance. So I think that's important to note. It's that the way we process and internalise feedback is going to shape how we respond to it or how we feel about it. It can severely impact our mental state, again, depending on how we internalise or process that. If we already have a shaky core to begin with, if we already have low self-worth, low self-esteem, I'm not good enough, I'll never be good enough, those kind of internalized core beliefs, we call them, hearing an opinion that is maybe constructive or could elevate you or propel you to become better, you're going to use that to shake you, and it could completely impact you in terms of your future performances. So I think it's establishing how you feel about yourself first and foremost is going to be important to how you take criticism or opinions. Yeah, it's going to cause anxiety, it's going to cause stress. It can cause a whole host of difficulties for us if we are perhaps not ready to receive opinion, not ready to receive constructive criticism. If we already feel defensive of our performance or the way that we feel about ourselves, that's all going to impact on how we internalize and process what we're hearing.
That's really hard for musicians though, because when we're performing or when we're playing, we're doing it to put ourselves out there. Even if we're in an orchestra or a concert band or whatever we're in, and we're part of the whole, we're still that unique construct within that whole. And so it's really hard not to feel something when a view, an opinion is voiced. And yeah, if someone says that was actually brilliant and it sort of, I really enjoyed that, and you get this sort of, your chest expands and you're breathing, yeah, it was great, wasn't it? But the slightest negative, and you don't normally hear it directly, but you could hear it indirectly, certainly via social media, if you put videos up or something, then it goes back to what you said in the previous podcast, the the importance of self-worth as musicians and as flute players. And that's a hard one to even begin to address.
It is, because if you think about self-worth, it's about, or low self-worth, it's about a feeling of not enoughness, right? And in the music industry and in as musicians, what is enough? You know, what that is, yeah. Something that just is indefinable. You can't define that in terms of enoughness, in that it's not something you can put a number on. I reach 100 and I'm suddenly enough. Yeah. You know, you get full marks on an exam and you're suddenly enough. You don't have that when it comes to the creatives and the arts. And I think that's where it's about becoming comfortable with the idea that imperfection is beautiful, and we can create from imperfection, and sometimes we can create more, you know, beautiful pieces, or we can perform better within the world of imperfection. And when things aren't going perfectly, that's where beautiful things happen. And that can feel really uncomfortable for somebody that is a perfectionist, or that, I guess, hangs on the every word of somebody that they aspire to be like, or that somebody that, you know, that they value the opinion of. And again, that's going to impact on how creative you can be within in being imperfect. And as a musician, nobody is perfect. And it's based on opinion. Mm. What, you know, one musician that I think is my favourite, it might not be yours.
I very much doubt it if it would be my favourite. But
well, unless you love Harry Styles as much as I do, then maybe not.
No.
It's such a deep and dark subject, because there aren't really any answers. It's more of a feeling, and that comes slowly, and it comes with, you know, self-awareness, and unfortunately it comes with being uncomfortable. You are never going to grow or develop or get better as a musician if you don't feel discomfort. And I always say, I particularly say this to clients who I'm working with, I said, if you feel discomfort, if you feel uncomfortable, it's a sign that there's growth. It's a sign, you know, I call it growing pains. Yeah, I call discomfort growing pains. And there's a difference between distress and discomfort. Mm-hmm. But yeah, where there's a level of discomfort, it's often, we can redefine it as growing pains. And what happens with growing pains? We grow, don't we? We get taller, we get better, we get bigger, you know. And again, sometimes about redefining that.
If we're looking at opinions, we then have to look at the fact that we're judging ourselves against our peers or a performance that we've heard previously, rather than thinking that each and every one of us has our own uniqueness in the music business. And whether we are deemed to be one of the best players in the world, or whether we are a new beginner, or whether we are a good amateur, each one of us has a place. But the thing I was trying to bring out with this question of the podcast is how we don't realize that each and every one of us has a place, in which case judgment or opinion breaks down these building blocks and pushes us further away on the musical scene.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think judgment, it's the thief of joy. Is that what they say? Judgment is the thief of joy. I think if I've got that wrong, please cut this out.
No, I quite like that. Judgment is the thief of joy.
So, you know, it's almost like that little voice on your shoulder that distracts you from everything it distracts you from your direction. It distracts you from recognizing your place in the world, your place in the music industry, your place on that stage. And it's going to rob you at the end of the day. You're going to end up with far less. You're never going to be in abundance with judgment. It's always going to rob you. And that's not to say that we can escape it, but, and maybe this doesn't apply so much with performance, but maybe just in ourselves and what we're doing right now, having a awareness and just stripping everything back and practicing in our daily lives, not judging the things that we're doing, but just seeing it for what it is, can help us to be our best and perform, you know, and not placing judgment on what does that mean about me, or what does that mean about my performance, but I performed. What's the fact in the situation, you know? And looking for the facts in the situation and after a performance, during a performance, can help us to ground us And yeah, it's difficult. It's something that takes practice, but just looking for evidence for things and can help us to kind of challenge our thoughts or challenge negative or, you know, challenge judgments.
Do you think social media has had a negative effect on this? Because it's very easy to criticize, to place an opinion invisibly.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. You're seeing a musician, let's call it, a musician that has probably, they're on their 20th take and they've just managed to get, you know, a good take of a song that they're playing, and perhaps they've cut it up as well because, you know, their previous takes, they did a better intro and a better middle, you know, better middle and another take. And you're seeing what's often not reality. You're seeing something curated, and that musician is not always going to play that song beautifully every time.
That's a very interesting point, because very few records are recorded in one take. Mm-hmm. So in effect, we're manufacturing an outcome.
Yes, yeah.
So an opinion could, or a judgment, so let's say opinion, could be based around something that is live in that moment. So therefore, you don't have the ability to chunk it, to re-record certain bits and say, actually, I didn't mean to play it like that. Here it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Social media, and I'm thinking about the recording industry, mm-hmm. and it allows for, it's not even perfection, but it allows, you know, the perfect version of what they hope to create to be achieved in whatever time frame they need to achieve it. A performance, a live performance, you get one shot, mm-hmm. and you've got to go up there and do what you can do in that moment. And that's going to be impacted by things like, have we eaten enough? Have we slept properly? How are we feeling today? There's so many different factors that are going to affect how we perform in that exact moment that we can never redo. We can never go back to that specific moment. But isn't that the beauty of it? That we don't know what's going to come out, what we're going to create in that moment.
I think that is exactly right. And before we conclude, I'd just like to bring you, just sort of go back to the things that go wrong and the acceptance of sometimes a performance will go wrong. Sometimes you won't play for various reasons as well as you had expected to play, and bearing in mind the amount of work that you may have done. The beauty of accepting that you get good days and bad days, like we all have in life, as a musician would surely, going back to what the question was about, reduce the effect of judgment or opinion.
Yeah, definitely. We call this, in dialectical behavioural therapy, sorry, getting technical, we call this radical acceptance. And it's about accepting something for what it is, even if we don't like it. And again, this sounds really weird, because why should we want to accept something that we didn't like or that it didn't go well? But actually, it's done. It is what it is. And let's just accept it for what it was and what it is. And yeah, whatever form it takes. And mistakes are going to happen. And they're a natural part of life. And if we can accept that mistake has happened, and it doesn't negate all the work that we've put in, and it doesn't define who you are as a musician, and yeah, that's going to be important in terms of progressing and
ultimately, I suppose, being free as a musician from the self-limiting factors or that inner narrative, which you briefly mentioned, of that voice on your subconscious voice on your shoulder that's saying the hard bit's coming up. Oh. And then you play it badly and you may come off stage and everybody comes up and say, that was brilliant. Well, yeah, but that hard bit, it's
a self-fulfilling prophecy though, isn't it? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If I tell myself the hard bit's coming up and I've, you know, I only managed to play it well once and I don't think I'll be able to do it again, what do? We confirm our own our own future. We confirm it by not playing it well, and we fulfill exactly what we thought we did.
Well, if you play something really well in your mind, really, really well, and the opinion or the judgment is that was horrible, I've experienced that a long time ago, it sort of does shake you to your core, because you thought you'd done something really well, and yet what was coming back was negative.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a minefield, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think we could talk about it all day. And there's no solution as such. There's no magic pill that you can just take that
That's
goes,
sad.
Yeah, sorry about that. It takes work. all of this stuff takes work and time and experience and practice and discomfort, unfortunately.
That word again, discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
Discomfort equals growth in certain circumstances, yeah?
Yep.
Thank you again this week, Beth. I look forward to joining you all again soon. Goodbye.
Talking Flutes and Talking Flutes Extra are podcast productions by the Trevor James Flute Company. For more information, visit trevorjamesflutes.com.